to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Living Villa Capelli.
Welcome back to Living Villa Capelli after a while hiatus.
Yes.
And tell them why, Stephen.
Because I was an idiot and I did not back up my computer and my hard drive decided to die.
And so he lost everything.
Everything, including our openings and Anna Vecchino's wonderful opening voice, our music. So that was luckily a music on my phone. We'll see if that plays through well enough. Maybe by the time I get this aired, the wonderful people at the repair shop will have found my files. So everybody send me good vibes that my files are going to be found.
Stephen had to ship his hard drive all the way to San Francisco from here in Terlizzi, Italy.
Yes.
To see if someone can save his files.
I hope they save them. Oh my gosh, please. It was a year's worth of work on that hard drive.
So don't forget, folks.
Yes. Back up your hard drive.
Back up your hard drives.
Yes. I can't recommend that enough.
Okay. Anyway, so that's the bad news.
Yes. So we're going to catch you up with our living here at Villa Capelli.
Our summer season is basically over.
Yes.
And we're, even though you'll be listening to this after, I mean, we're in the middle of October, so our season keeps extending. We have one more big American week to do in November where people are coming for a destination wedding. They're getting married here at Villa Capelli.
Yes.
We're very excited.
Yes, we are. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it's going to be really cool.
Because it's a new space, too.
It's in our new space, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, yes, yes. But before that, let's see what's been going on. The last few weeks, one other reason, not just because I lost my hard drive, is that we've been very busy. We had back-to-back-to-back groups. We had two culinary tours and a bike tour all on top of each other. So that was kind of an adventure in and of itself.
Busy, busy.
Yes. The first week was a group of Canadians with two Canadian chefs that kind of hosted the culinary tour.
Michael Howell, yes. And Michael Blackie.
Yes. And hopefully we're going to get Michael Howell on the line. Maybe he'll be our first phone interview because we wanted to do a podcast when he was here, but just didn't work out. But hopefully we get him because he is doing a food fest in
a film fest on a food film festival. Yes, Devour Food Festival. It's called Devour.
We want to talk to him about that and about culinary tours and that kind of stuff.
And Michael Blackie owns and runs a big restaurant in Ottawa.
Yes, it's called Next, I think.
Yes, NEXT.
Yes, and then because I definitely want to get Michael's. He made an amazing risotto while he was here.
The best risotto I have ever eaten in my life.
It was so good. It was so good. And, of course, it was the first night he was – or second night he was here. I don't know. We were busy getting ready for groups, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't watch him make it, and I was so mad because it was so good.
So maybe he'll come back and teach you. Actually, they just booked for – so, folks, now people are booking 3 years in advance here at Villa Capelli.
Yes.
Michael Howell and his next cooking group has booked for September of 2018. 2018. It's like, really? Are we still going to be alive?
Yes. So any of you who want to join that group?
Right, you have plenty of time to think about it.
Hopefully you come before then. The second group was a group from our friends at HE Travel.
Mm-hmm.
That was another fun group.
HE Travel is a travel agency based in
Key West, Florida.
They focus on gay travelers, and we've been working with them now for almost 6 years, right? Going on 6 years,
so.
5 years, six
it's
years.
Probably, yeah.
But this is the first culinary tour they've done with us.
Yes.
It wasn't a huge crowd, but that made it even nicer, actually, much more intimate.
Yes.
And it was, I think, a big success.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We made pasta. We ate at all the
best restaurants.
Antiki Sapori,
mm-hmm.
which is one of our highly recommended.
And Grotta Palazzese in Polignano Mare, one of the 14 restaurants in the world with the best view, named by some big publication, I forget who it was, I think Travel and Leisure, Grotta Palazzese at Polignano a Mare. Amazing.
And Antichi Sapori is, I don't know if we've talked about Antichi Sapori much.
Yeah, I'm sure we have.
We talked about Grotta, but I don't know about Antichi.
Anyway.
It's the most famous chef in the Puglia area. You go there for a tasting menu, and you would literally, how many courses was
20
it?
Plates, 20 courses.
Yes.
Most of the stuff made in his own two-acre garden, all the vegetables. It is heavily vegetarian.
Yes.
Although they do serve you some meat at the end, which most people usually can't eat because you're so full.
Yes.
But it is really great and really, really reasonably priced.
Yes.
But you have to book way in advance because they only have like 40 seats.
And that's it. And they don't like kids.
No.
I shouldn't say they don't like kids. But well, it makes sense, though. Think about it. It's from a business perspective. You don't want a child taking up a seat than an adult could and eating a lot less when you only have 40 seats.
Just, and especially here in Italy where people think that they can bring their kids and the kids should all eat free.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Or they'll eat off the adult's plate.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, then the next one.
And the other thing about Italy, by the way, and Italian restaurants is, like in the States, at least in New York City, probably most major cities, restaurants have multiple seatings. They start at probably 6 o'clock. Some places, well, Florida, probably 4 o'clock. But, they'll do a 6, they'll do an 8, and they'll do a 10. Here, it's just one seating because every meal takes 3.5 hours.
Yeah, for lunch and dinner.
Right. In the States, well, first of all, it's hard to find lunch in a lot of places here in Italy, at least in small towns. It's just they just don't do seatings.
Yes, and they don't do drinks necessarily with dinner. They'll do wine with their meals, but the wine here is so inexpensive, so the restaurants are trying to make their money off of the food,
mm-hmm.
whereas in the States, you make all your money off of the alcohol.
Or at least most of it.
Yeah, so it's a interesting business.
Yeah, it's a different culture. When you go to a restaurant in the States, the waiter comes up, first thing he asks is, would you like a drink?
Yeah.
Here, they come right up and say, okay, what would you like to order?
Exactly.
It's like, what's on the menu?
And that's the other thing, too. The menus, it's
no, forget the menus. Never go to an Italian restaurant and order off a menu, unless it's like a really fancy, schmancy place. But just go to the restaurant and say, okay, what's good today? And let them bring you stuff.
Yeah. That was my favorite line from the bike trip. We went to Trani, and we went to the extremely touristy place to eat. And the guys knew it going in. We knew it was going to be very touristy. And the guy even said, it's going to be really classy. We can just point to the pictures and tell them that's what you want. Because every single item had a picture. It was those horrible, cut out on white pictures. Oh, no. It's bad.
Yes.
So we covered the bike trips before, and I looked this up before. I'm so professional, right?
If you were professional, you would have backed up your hard drive.
Yes. Bike tours we covered in episode 10 of our podcast. If you want to learn all about our bike tours and biking in Italy, check out that in episode 10. But that was another bike tour. It was after the second culinary tour. And we had some guests kind of join in here and there, some family members, long-lost family members, not long-lost, I guess.
No, but, yeah, from Tuscany.
But no, but also your cousins from California that came in.
Oh, yeah, that's right, from outside of Fresno,
yes.
California.
Yes, that was...
Members, and their grandparents were all originally from Terlizzi.
Hi, guys, I know you're listening. Hi.
Hi. The Quercia family.
Yes.
But even though they don't pronounce it Quercia.
How do they pronounce it?
Like Quercia or something.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
Interesting. But then but that was a cool Facebook thing. You guys kind of connected on Facebook again, right?
Yes, and then because of them, I started that Facebook page, if anyone wants to join, Terlizzi USA, if you know anybody that is originally from Terlizzi and... now lives in the States, or if the grandparents or great-grandparents moved from Terlizzi to the States and you want to know more about your roots, come check us out at Terlizzi USA on Facebook.
Yep. And now that these tours are wrapped up, our season, I guess our rental season is pretty much wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
That means we move on to products.
Yes, now we have to do products. I mean, it's never ending here. I was just thinking about it the other day. So we do the whole season, which starts basically in April, goes through the middle of October. As soon as that's over, now we're going to make our products because we have to ship stuff to the U.S. because we're low on products at our store, online store in the U.S.
Yes.
And then as soon as that's over, we got to pick our olives to make the new olive oil.
Yes.
So that takes us into the beginning of January. And then we have February. Then we have the rest of January and February kind of, you know, downtime. And then March, we have to start getting ready for the new summer season.
Yeah. I mean, but even there and then, you're still, now you're doing upkeep, all the chores that you meant to do, like the repair to the fence or the door that's always been jamming. So there's always work.
The water filtering system.
Oh, yes. Don't even start on the damn water. Guys,
we don't have town water. You know, we collect rainwater, and when in the summer when it doesn't rain, we have water trucked in. And then we have a whole filtering system that gets clogged up. It's a pain in the butt.
And then we have the hot water heaters go out on us.
Mm-hmm.
That was during one of the guests. Sorry, Suzanne and sorry.
If there's a heavy rain, usually.
Yeah. So their hot water was out one night when they were trying to take a shower. No, one morning, I think, they tried to take showers, and it was really cold. But that's the nature of running a villa.
Yes.
But right now, I'll get into it. We are getting a shipment ready to come to the States. So if you guys are probably listening now, you have the 3 liters, there might be 1 or 2 3-liter tins left, maybe.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, there might not be any left.
So that's what we're trying to get to.
But they will be there by the middle or no later than the end of November.
End of November, yeah. And then, but the big harvest right now is Paul and his peppers.
Yes.
Who could pick a pepper? Paul could pick a pepper.
Yes, I love my peppers.
So he is harvesting all of these extremely hot
peppers. Let's see, habanero chocolate. Habanero orange, Naga Morich, Trinidad Scorpion. A friend of ours just gave us some, what are they again?
Carolina Reapers.
Carolina Reapers.
Which is the hottest pepper in the world.
Supposedly, yeah. Calabrese chilies, Cayenne F4. And we cook them up. Well, first we grow them.
Yes.
Then we harvest them. Then we cook them up with, like, onions and sage and all this other good stuff, celery. And then I pass them through the machine that usually make tomato sauce in. So all the seeds get separated and the skin gets skin and seed gets separated from the pulp. The pulp becomes this amazingly hot sauce. So if you're really into hot sauce, we'll be shipping some out soon.
It's going to be, and by the way, warning, it's a concentrate. It's not a hot sauce. It's a hot, we actually call it hot sauce concentrate.
Seriously, you stick a toothpick in it. Do not get any pulp on the toothpick. Just get the toothpick a little wet. Put it on the tip of your tongue, and you will shout. If you would speak Italian, if you would speak Terlizzi dialect, "Kitem murt," which is the worst curse word of curse phrase here in the South. The stuff is called KTM for "Kitem murt." It's basically cursing all the dead people in someone's family. It's kind of nasty, but you'll do it because it's hot, it's man. Hot.
And that's what the oil is called too. We make a spicy oil. We make an olio santo, which is not as spicy. That's kind of a regular spicy, which is, you know, pretty delicious and great on
vegetables, pasta.
Yeah. But this is...
But the KTM is like killer.
A little drop will do you.
Yes. So do not use more than a drop or you'll ruin your dish.
Yes. And which is, you know, obviously everybody's different, but this one is freaking hot. And we did a concentrate, like Paul said, so... That's coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few other ideas for some products here and there for adding some spice.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the stuff that we're making, that we're going to jar tonight, I think would be a great mix for if you want to make a really spicy barbecue or chicken wing sauce.
That's what we said, we can swing sauce, yeah.
Yeah.
We should do that for sure. And guys, you know, I just listened to another podcast. I think it's called, don't quote me, How Stuff You Should Know. And it's all about chili peppers. It was interesting, very interesting. You guys, I don't know if you knew what the Kensington scale?
No. What's it called?
What's Kensington? Oh, that's no. Maybe gay or straight?
No, that's not it. That's a Kinsey scale.
Kensington scale.
Kinsey,
oh. What's the one with the peppers?
Something, I forget now.
Oh, you guys. So anyway. My brain's not working. But basically, what that actually equates to, so if it rates 500,000 on that scale, it basically means it takes 500,000 cups of water, the pepper diluted, one pepper diluted into 500,000 cups of water until you, so you will not taste any heat when you drink the water. So that's how it's based. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also tons of health benefits I did not know about. It actually lowers your bad cholesterol. It's a blood thinner. It actually, a huge, huge myth is that it causes ulcers, but it actually helps ulcers, which is interesting.
Hmm.
I thought.
It is very interesting.
Yes, tons of health benefits.
But we're making a lot of other products too, like our fig jam.
Yes.
Which is being shipped out. An amazing plum jam. Yes. Which is coming out, conserves, I'm sorry, jam makes it down, so it's downscale.
Yes.
But,
And then we're doing almonds.
Almonds.
The almonds are big. The almonds this year, guys, are, I think there must have been, because of the drought in California. Man,
there's a shortage, yeah, so prices are up.
Yep.
Sorry,
we have to raise our prices a little bit, but we're making almonds next week, so that's the big product stuff. We're getting mm-hmm. everything ready to ship out to you guys. So you can enjoy a little bit of Italian in your life.
You know, and speaking of shipping out olive oil, I was just watching this three-video series done by Italian television on extra virgin olive oil, Italian extra virgin olive oil. Man, it is friggin' infuriating. I can't think straight. It is just nasty what these big companies who sell supposedly Italian olive oil. They're not even Italian companies, some of them are, but there's everything in there except olives. It's like disgusting, and they get away with it. You know, the most infuriating thing about it was these poor olive farmers, even in Tuscany, they were saying, you know, it's the biggest problem are the politicians. So the customs agents, the anti-fraud division of the customs department here in Italy, checks these containers that are coming in, these ships from Spain carrying Tunisian oil and seed oil and motor oil that they then are going to treat so that you get all the stink out of it. And they sell it to you as extra virgin olive oil. And so the customs agents stop this stuff. They take samples. They start their investigation. Now, the Italian parliament decides that they're going to make a new law. The new law says that if the customs department doesn't finish their investigation within 3 days, it's no longer valid. So, like, 3 days? How can anyone do an investigation in 3 days?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all being paid off by these big friggin' companies.
But the other law was that if you, as that customs official, if you bring charges against that company, like saying, no, you're not bringing in extra virgin, and they lose money and however, and it's proven against, they basically fight you and prove that no, it is actually extra virgin, you have to pay out of your personal pocket any damages to that company.
Well,
incentive. Why would you ever bring? Because you're afraid. I would never bring anything up against anybody.
But even on this investigative reporting that they're doing, they can't show the labels. They can't show the name of the companies.
Yeah.
They said that at the very end, finally, they showed a Carapelli commercial, Carapelli olive oil, and a Bertolli commercial that are all about Italian olive oil, Italian olive oil, Italian olive oil. And guess what? They're not even Italian companies.
No.
They're Spanish, and now I think they're owned by the Chinese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
It's infuriating. I mean, these guys are selling, you know, extra virgin olive oil for $5 a bottle, which is, we've told you before, that's impossible. Possible. It's impossible to put a bottle of Italian extra virgin olive oil on a store shelf for $5. It doesn't exist. It's not only is it not extra virgin olive oil, 95% of the time it's not even olive oil. There's no olives in there.
No,
it's bullshit.
It's disgusting, and it's so bad for you. That's the part too. People are thinking they're buying something good for themselves.
Yeah,
that's the part that's infuriating. And then and then that's what we have to go up against. Because then you.
No, the part that's infuriating is that these damn governments let them get away with it. Well, and it's the same thing everywhere in the world.
Because it's lobbyists and
money. Pocket. It's money. Yeah,
exactly. They have tons of money, but they also can intimidate small growers and producers like us.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what's happening with a certain producer that's trying to block us getting a trademark on our name, and they have,
because it sounds too much like their name. So yes. Our name is Villa Capelli. Let's see if you can guess what the name of the company is that's trying to block us.
Yes, that's all you had to say. And then, but our lawyer, who was very nice and is helping us out, who actually stayed at the villa here, and he said basically, though, look, you could fight this, but you're talking a couple $100,000 and two
in 1 year.
No, I think it was 2 years.
Oh, no, it was one year. It was 1 year, but you have to respond. You have to, by law, respond to them, even though it's a bullshit claim, because they're saying our name is too close to theirs and they're bigger. So it takes a year to fight it, to get some kind of an agreement, and you're going to spend at least $100,000. So what these guys do is they have these little snot-nosed lawyers just out of law school sitting at a desk somewhere checking the computer to see what kind of trademark things are coming through every day. And as soon as they see one for olive oil, they go, oh, let's go after them.
And the lawyer's on payroll, so for them it costs them nothing compared to somebody like us, which it costs us more money than we make in...
Yeah, I mean, we can't spend $100,000 on a frivolous lawsuit. Even if chances are you'll win, but you still got to spend $100,000.
Yeah, that's the part, and that's why they intimidate you. It's just, it's ridiculous. And then that's why they win.
Anyway, let's get on to nicer subjects. Now I'm pissed off.
No, it's a good subject. We didn't really talk too much about the fraud and the olive oil episode. I don't think we did.
But it's all fraud. It's all friggin' fraud.
That's
unbelievable. They were just showing a segment in Tuscany. A lot of the olive growers and the olive oil, the growers who actually produce the oil, they're letting their orchards just go wild. They're not growing olives anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because they can't sell it at the price that it should be sold at.
Well, maybe we should tell people. I'll give you guys how can you tell and what your extra virgin olive oil is. First off, price. You guys,
that's the first hint.
Yeah, that's the first hint. So, it's good olive oil is not going to be...
Well, I'll take them through the math one more time. For those of you who haven't listened before, here's the simple math. Here in Puglia, where oil is pretty damn... It's probably the cheapest in all of Italy. At the lowest here, we've bought oil. You buy oil at the mill, if you're buying wholesale, for €3 a liter, right? So that's basically $4.50, $5, okay? So you're already starting at $5. Now you got to buy a bottle. You got to print labels. You got to put them on there. You got to buy caps for the bottles. You got to pack them. You got to ship it, pay for the shipping to go from Italy to America. You got to make a little bit of a profit. Whoever you sell it to, if you sell it to a supermarket, because we're talking about oil that you find on a supermarket shelf, that supermarket is going to make a profit, and we all know how that works. Unless you're Costco, which only makes an 11% profit margin on their products, they only charge it up 11%. But anybody else is going to make 50% on that, right? They're going to double the price. So if that bottle is costing me as a producer, $10. How can you buy a bottle of extra virgin olive oil on a store shelf for $5 or even $10? Yeah. It's impossible. There is no olive oil in that damn bottle.
Yep. So, guys, price is the number one. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. So, price. We're going to go to L. I have a little thing here. I have a little acronym. L, labels. Now, while the labels can be deceptive, but there are some things you can look for. One is the DOP. Or POD, Would you want to explain that?
DOP, Denominazione d'Origine Protetta. It means that the olives used to make that oil come from a protected, a controlled area that lets you know that all the olives being grown by that farmer, by that company, are of a certain type, and that's what's in that bottle.
So, and that is, guys, pretty heavily enforced and policed. So yes, that's a good label to look for. So that's, you know, obviously ours, you'll see that on our label. We do have that. So that's another one. Another good thing to look for is look on the back. It might say Italian olive oil, but look on the back.
On the front label, it'll say 100% Italian extra virgin olive oil.
Yes,
and then in small print, it'll say, if they're somewhat honest, it'll say, read the back label for the provenance of this oil.
Yes. So you look on the back, olives are from Tunisia, Greece, Spain,
Morocco.
Yes. So they're basically, they're you know, they're...
The Italian law says that if it's bottled in Italy, it can be called Italian olive oil, which is another bullshit thing.
So that's another one. So you have to be careful on that. But I think that is a law. I don't know whether people actually follow that law, but, you know, at least you can look on that label. Supposedly that will give you a little bit of help. Those two things. I will say... the next one is you for understanding the labels, like we just told you guys, and understanding the terms. Obviously there is fraud, but something you should be buying extra virgin. Do not be fooled by the marketing terms of pure olive oil or light olive oil. Those are disgusting. Those are the things Paul was talking about. Nothing in there has anything to do with olives. It's just a marketing term that they created.
The most honest of the companies that is selling what is just labeled as olive oil, not extra virgin, just olive oil, only has a maximum of 5% olive oil in that bottle.
Wow.
5% by law.
Wow.
So they are allowed to sell you friggin' motor oil as long as it has 5% olive oil in there.
Yeah.
5% extra virgin olive oil in there, they can call it olive oil.
But then that's, so that you guys realize, pure just means, that's a marketing term, pure olive oil. It doesn't say, it's not extra virgin. Extra virgin is the top quality. And then light olive oil, again, is a market, light meaning it's light on antioxidants, light on flavor, light on color, everything. It's not light in calories. It's the exact same amount of calories, fat per tablespoon. You have the exact same amount of calories in extra virgin as you do in light olive.
Because you know, the reason people go for light, and they explained it in these three videos. I just posted them on the Villa Capelli Facebook page and my own Facebook page and the tips and tricks page that we have on Facebook. A lot of consumers all around the world are not used to a full-bodied, real extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah, they think it's like lubrication for them.
They want a light flavored olive oil. So because all they want is something that makes the stuff slippery, basically.
Yeah, but and think about it. What other olive oil do you ever dip a bread in to taste it?
Yeah, Wesson.
You never would dip it into freaking canola oil or corn oil or that's disgusting. Same thing with olive oil. You wouldn't. You would take it. You would taste it, and it would be disgusting, probably.
Or it doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah.
And but a lot of people like stuff that doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah, no. And that's the whole point. It not only does olive oil taste like something, but it also helps bring out the flavors of your food. That's the nature of extra virgin olive oil.
So if you don't like the flavor of real, good, honest to goodness, healthy extra virgin olive oil, don't use any olive oil. Just like use butter or margarine or whatever the hell you're going to use.
Better. Yeah, that's true. And then the last one is S for source. So, guys, this is mainly about knowing where it comes from. This isn't always the easy thing to do, but obviously you heard our argument against big companies. You don't really know freaking where your oil is coming from when it's coming from a big company. But if you know a small state-produced oil, I think that's extremely important. You know, somebody like us or any other producer, we're not going to screw you over because it's our livelihood and we...
And I believe
it
says on our label that it's a state grown
yes.
and bottled.
Yes.
We do it all here. We don't mill it here because we don't have a big mill to crush the olives, but we pick our olives, we bring them to the mill, within 48 hours, we crush the olives. I stay there personally through the night, cold winter nights, waiting for our oil to come through the machine. I fill up our containers, bring it back here to the villa, and then we bottle it right here, and it gets shipped right to the States.
Yep.
It's not pleasant all the time, and I do have to bring a couple of bottles of limoncello with me to keep everybody happy and warm, but it's what we do to make sure that what goes in one side of that mill is the same as what comes out the other side. Yes. Those are my olives, and that's my oil.
Well, it goes back to the line we have on our website, too. Trust a farm, not a factory.
That's right.
I mean, you know, and that goes with most of your food, but, you know, especially with olive oil, that's another way you do it. So then going back to...
If you haven't done so yet, read Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yes. But going back, this is the PLUS method. This helps you better. P-L-U-S. So the first one is P for price. L is for label, looking for that DOP or where the olives come from. U is just understanding the terms, you know.
Yeah, and don't be fooled by, you know, first press, cold press,
cold press is important. That's what makes extra virgin, because extra virgin olive oil is just pressed. It's not using any heat to make the oil.
By law, extra virgin olive oil cannot be tampered with in any way, shape, or form.
Yes. So
don't listen to this crap about, you know, looking for green olive oil because everyone equates olives with green. Guess what, folks? Do you know what makes that olive oil green in those $5, $10, $15 bottles? Chlorophyll. They add chlorophyll to that oil. I can't even call it olive oil.
No, because they have to actually originally bleach it to get rid of the color
impurities,
because it's like black, and then they add the chlorophyll in to make it look green. But understanding those terms, and then finally S is for the source. Learn, you know, it's important to know where it comes from.
Find someone you trust.
Trust, exactly.
It doesn't have to be us, but find someone you trust.
Exactly.
Talk to someone who's been to that place and can tell you, yes, I've been there, I've seen the trees, I've seen the oil, yeah. I've seen the mill, I've seen them do it.
I mean, just again, it's a farmer. It goes back to like my grandparents. It's like, you know, you trust them. You're not going to trust this. Yeah. Anyway. Frustrating. But anyway. That's it. Yeah. So that's my little PLUS method. I'll put that in the show notes for anybody who wants to look it up again. And I think that covers it for this episode. Right? We're like, we're all heated now. We need another drink.
Yes.
So next week, hopefully you guys will join us. Please, guys.
And, you know, the olive harvesting season is upon us. This year is going to be a very good year for olive oil. Last year was a disastrous year. There were no olives to be had except for our little territory. We were one of the few in all of Italy that actually had olives and oil, and that's why the price went through the roof.
Yes.
This year, the price is still going to be high because there were no reserves, so there is no oil to be had from last year or anything else like that. But the olives this year are big and plump, and they look beautiful. We're looking forward to a really, really great year of olive oil.
And if anybody wants to ever come pick the olives, we love to have groups come and help. It's a lot of fun, and you get to learn all about the process. It's kind of cool.
And you can take home a couple of bottles of olive oil with your own name on the label.
Exactly. So, hey, guys, if you don't want to miss another episode, please hit subscribe on your podcast player. And we love ratings and reviews, so rate and review us.
And tell all your friends about us.
Yes, please spread the word. And the best thing, guys, to reach us, please go to the website, Living Villa Capelli, and sign up for our newsletter. Or you can go to villacapelli.com, too. There's a link there for signing up for newsletter. It's the best way for us to communicate with you guys. You would have seen my... email this week about how my hard drive crashed and why we're so late on this podcast.
And if you have any questions, if you ever have any problems with the website, if something goes wrong with the order or whatever, just, you know, notify us as quickly as possible, and you'll see that we get back to you within minutes.
Yes, it's info@villacapelli.com.
Two P's, two L's for Capelli.
Yep. All right. Thanks, guys.
Ciao. Buona notte. Ciao.
Ciao.